Happy National Shortbread Day, you guys. Where do I begin to tell the story of how great a love can be? Some of you will recognize that as a lyric from a song so long ago that I'm not going to talk about it. I love, love, love shortbread. And I have several podcasts for shortbread. Butterscotch shortbread cookies that have little bits of toffee in them. And toffee-studded brown sugar oatmeal shortbread cookies, if you want to pretend your shortbread cookies can be healthy. Today, I'm posting probably my favorite shortbread recipe, although it's a close contest between this one and the Ted Lasso biscuits, which are almondy, vanilla-y, and really wonderful shortbread cookies. But I think these are my top favorite. Please make them today. Today is National Shortbread Day, and you should celebrate. You have my blessing to do so. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi there. I'm Cindy Linden, and this is the Cook Along Podcast. We're going to make cookies today, and you know how much I love cookies. But I have to tell you, it was not my original plan. It's really time for something savory. I've done a lot of sweet things lately, and I felt strongly that it was time to do a savory recipe. And then, last week, I made a brand new recipe from the King Arthur Flour Cookie Companion, which was adapted by the New York Times. And I have to share this with you. This recipe blew me away. The recipe now says, in large letters at the top of the paper that I had printed out from the New York Times, OMG! Exclamation point, underlined. These are incredible cookies, especially if you like shortbread cookies. This shortbread is really delicate and moist. It's not dry and crumbly, and it's got jam on it. I mean, what else can I tell you? It's amazing. You have to make these. You have to make these. In addition, they're super easy. They have a little bit of an exotic ingredient, but it's an optional thing and you can do without it. Please make these. Oh my God, these are so good. These are bar cookies, which means you don't have to shape them. You just push them into a pan. And then the jam is just jam. Pick what you like. They're called shortbread jammers. I should have told you that from the beginning. Anyway, when I made these last week, I used a homemade peach freezer jam that I had made the week before. And they were incredible. And today, I figured out that there's no reason you can't use more than one kind of jam. Because you don't even jam them all at the same time. You do them individually. Don't worry, that's not a lot of work. It's really simple. But today I'm going to use some apple cider fruit spread from Trader Joe's, and I have some amazing cherry jam by a company called Wilkin & Sons Limited. It says, by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen, purveyors of Tiptree products. There you go. Well, the Queen just passed away, so I'm going to use this cherry jam in her honor now. It's called Morello Cherry, and both of these jams are chunky. You can't use jelly. You have to use a good chunky jam or preserve. So let's talk about the ingredients while we're on the subject. You need a half a pound of unsalted butter. And that's 2 cubes, if you have it in cubes. And here's a do-ahead. It has to be at room temperature. So I have mine in my jeans pockets. And I turn them every once in a while because, of course, I didn't think ahead about doing this podcast of these today. I was thinking about doing something savory. So here we are, and I have the butter in my pockets. You need 3/4 cup granulated sugar. When I made this last week, I used C&H ultra fine sugar, some baker's sugar. I don't know that that was important, but it could have been to the texture. I would say use what you have, but if you happen to have the fine sugar, go for it. 1 teaspoon of fine sea salt, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Now here's where the modification comes in. 2 cups of all-purpose flour plus 1/3 cup of rice flour. I didn't do that. I don't have rice flour in the house. I had it for a really long time because we went through a gluten-free phase in my house for about, 2 years. The thing is, it's really, really hard to bake with. Everything I tried to make with it, when I was using exclusively the rice flour, it all just crumbles into dust the minute you try to cut it or break it or do anything. It's not got the cohesion that gluten provides, and the stuff just crumbled to bits. So I held on to it because it was expensive, and I didn't want to throw it out. And I had it for a very long time, and then I thought to myself, okay, you've had this for a very long time, and A, it probably is starting to get a little stale, and B, you haven't used it in a very long time. So maybe it's time to move it along. So I dumped it out, and 2 months later, here I find this recipe that wants me to use it. I wasn't going to go out and buy rice flour. I've done that, been there. So it says that if you want to, you can just substitute all-purpose flour for that 1/3 cup of rice flour. The reason that it's got rice flour in it is because they say that it helps keep the cookie very tender to use the rice flour, but it's fine to use the all-purpose flour instead. I compromised, and I made all of the flour what they call pastry flour. Unbleached white fine pastry flour, and mine comes from Bob's Red Mill, and it's America's best baking flour, according to Bob, for biscuits, cookies, muffins, pie crusts, cakes, brownies, and pancakes. I thought, okay, I'll try that instead of regular all-purpose flour. The results of what I got are, obviously, from my lack of words here, impossible to describe how wonderful it was. Do not let the absence in your house of the baker's fine sugar or the pastry flour deter you from trying these cookies. I suspect that they will be just as wonderful, maybe a little more crumbly, hard to say, but I didn't find them at all crumbly when I made them. They were, in fact, the moistest shortbread I've ever had, and they kept for days and never dried out. They stayed moist. Maybe that's the jam on top doing some work to help keep that moist. I don't know. But please don't stop everything because you don't have the exotic ingredients. Just go for it. So 2 1/3 cups of some kind of flour. If you have all-purpose, do 2 1/3 cups. If you have pastry flour, do 2 1/3 cups. If you have rice flour, do 2 cups of all-purpose flour and 1/3 cup of rice flour. And then the last ingredient is 1 cup of the thick fruit jam, which is what we talked about, preserves or even marmalade, something with chunks in it, okay? You'll be sorry if you used something too thin because it's just going to be too runny. Equipment. You need an 8x8 baking dish. That's what I call a brownie pan. You need a stand mixer with a large bowl, or you can use a hand mixer with a large bowl. You need a fork. You need a table knife, something you would put next to somebody's plate to spread butter. And your do-ahead, there's only two. There's bringing the butter to room temperature, which means that when you press your thumb into it, it indents a little bit. So stick those in your pocket if you need to. And you want to preheat your oven to 325. Are you ready to start? Because I am so ridiculously excited to share this with you that we just need to start. The first step is you want to butter your pan. So you got your 8x8 baking dish, and I keep some regular salted butter at room temperature because it just sits out here and waits for me to need it for toast or whatever. And I just put maybe a half a teaspoon of it on my fingers, and I'm going to spread that around the inside of this glass pan. There are more tidy ways to do this. When I was a kid, my dubious privilege was to get to grease the pans when my mother was baking something. I never really liked it, but I guess it allowed me to feel like I was helping. Anyway, she would use shortening for something like this, not butter. And she would hand me some wax paper, and I would, just like a little square of it, I would sort of reach into the can of shortening with the wax paper against my fingers and scoop it out, and then use the wax paper to spread the shortening. And it worked, but I don't worry about that anymore. I don't care, particularly with butter, I don't care if I get it on my hands. So once you've finished smearing the whole inside of your pan, and be sure you get the corners with the butter, step one is complete. And then, of course, you're going to need to stop and wash your hands. Once your hands are clean, get that butter out of your pockets. It may still be a little hard on the inside. Mine is. Did I tell you to turn them in your pocket every once in a while? Just put the butter, that 1/2 pound or 2 cubes of unsalted butter, into the bottom of the bowl you're going to use with your mixer. And then add the granulated sugar. 3/4 cup of that in with the butter. Beat that. Start at low speed. And here's where we find out how much I got the butter softened. By the way, a little bit of help in making better cookies. There is on my website, thecookalongpodcast.com, a short one in the quick bites category about how to make your cookies better. And one of them describes the different stages of softened butter so that you don't have to guess what it means when something says softened or something says room temperature. That's in that podcast, and also some stuff about what it looks like to cream butter. And that's what we're about to do. So that's just a tip. If you want your cookies to always be better, you might listen to that short podcast about things you can do on all cookies. So I turned off the mixer so I could talk to you. With the butter and sugar in there, I'm going to tell you what to do and then go away. You want to keep it on a slow speed until the butter and sugar look like they're starting to kind of meld together. And then you want to increase to medium speed and beat it for about 3 minutes. On the website with this recipe, there will be pictures of what the creamed butter should ultimately look like. And you can go there and look for it if you're in doubt. Come back to me after 3 minutes of creaming your butter and sugar. It should be all fluffy and combined together.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
All right, now we add the salt and the vanilla. Now, you will notice that I specified fine sea salt. That is because that's what the recipe says. But you've also heard me say more than once, I'm measuring out my teaspoon here, and it's going into the mixing bowl, that you don't want to use table salt if it has iodine in it. I mean, you can. It's just that iodine has iodine-like flavor. And if you can do without that in your beautiful baked shortbread, wouldn't you rather have it not taste like iodine? So I'm just saying, sea salt is what I cook with, except when something calls for kosher salt. Oh, there's a blog on my website about that. I think it starts with the word kosher. So you can type it into the search bar if you're interested in learning about the different kinds of most often used salts. Type in the word kosher and you'll find it. So now I'm dumping in also the teaspoon of vanilla. And we're just going to give that a quick spin here to kind of mix it in a little bit. And when that brown stuff is no longer brown, it's just a part of the color of the butter. Then we're going to start talking about the flour. Now, if you're using rice flour, you just need to measure that third of a cup. Don't do anything fancy. You can just scoop it or whatever. If you're using any kind of wheat flour, we're going to do my favorite way of measuring it, which, as you know, is that first you stir it, you aerate it, and I'm going to pour it into a bowl so that I can add it all at one time. That way I don't have to walk across my kitchen with a cup full of flour every time. So stir it up in whatever it's in, even if it's still in the bag. You need to aerate it a little bit. And then scoop it out with the spoon and into the measuring cup. And then level that off with the handle of the spoon so that you have just one cup. And pour that into your bowl. Whichever, you can put it right into the mixer bowl if you want to. And then the second cup, measuring that one out, stirred it again. You get too much flour in here, the shortbread is going to be dry and crumbly. Like I said, if you're using the rice flour for the last third, don't worry about that whole scoop thing. If you're using the wheat flour, keep going for the last third, which is what I'm doing with this fine pastry flour. All right, now this is going in to the bowl of the mixer with the butter, sugar, vanilla, and salt. And you don't have to put it in slowly, just dump it in and turn your mixer on. Just turn it on low because you don't want it to spit at you. And we're just going to beat it until the dough kind of comes together. You'll see that for a while it's just like a pie crust or something. It's dry and shaggy. Oh, yeah. This is a little hard work for my mixer here. There we go. And then it's going to come together into a kind of a wet dough. And as soon as it does that, you're done. You can shut off the mixer. It doesn't take very long. And then we're going to take that bowl off of the mixer. Push all the dough out of the beater blade. I'm just using my fingers. That's probably not the best way. Spatula, perhaps, would be a good tool for that. It's too late for me. I've got it on my fingers already. Don't leave any behind because you want all this good stuff to bake up. I can't wait for you to try this. You're going to write to me this time, and you're going to thank me. My email address for that, by the way, is cindy@thecookalongpodcast.com, but you can also just leave a message for me on the website. Now you will need a rubber spatula because what we're going to do is get the buttered pan out and scrape all of this kind of soft, goopy pastry It doesn't look like pastry, but it is pastry. Scoop it out of that bowl with your rubber spatula and down into the buttered pan. And it just can come out in a lump. It doesn't matter because we're going to have to do the rest by hand here anyway. That's, I guess, why it doesn't matter to use a rubber spatula to clean off the beater, because you're going to have to get this on your hands in a minute anyway. Now, using your hands, you have to press the dough down until it's even. Just flatten it. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. The most important thing is to try to get it all at the same level. So you don't want it higher where it meets the edge of the pan. Like, you don't want a ridge there. You want it all the same level. So just go around, push it down, level it out as best you can as you work around it with your fingers. When you have it all flat-ish, the jam is going to be on top of them to hide any flaws. Then you want the fork I told you about. You're going to prick the dough. Just poke holes through it all the way to the bottom in about 20 places. It can just be random. Doesn't matter. I'm not sure why we're doing this, but we're doing it because somebody said so, okay? I'm sure it has something to do with it baking all the way through and not being too wet. But I don't pretend to know the why, nor do I care. All I know is that the result is magnificent. And now, this goes in your preheated 325 degree oven. And it's going to bake for 35 minutes, or until it's kind of golden brown on the edges. And then you're going to take it out and come back and listen to the next section. Oh no, wait. It has to cool for 5 minutes. So after you take it out, set a timer for 5 minutes and then come back to me. Okay, here we are. I have a hot pan that's been cooling for 5 minutes, but it's still really hot. Now take the knife I told you about and just run it around the edges of the pan, between the shortbread and the pan edge, to just sort of loosen the sides a little bit. And this is the only remotely tricky part of this recipe. What we need to do is turn this pan out upside down on some sort of a hard surface. So I have a hard cutting board here I'm going to use. I'm putting the cutting board on top of the hot pan. I have hot pads on both of my hands. I'm just going to flip the whole thing upside down, all in one piece, and hope that the cookies just kind of fall out. Okay, they did. And the same thing that happened to me last time happened this time, which is a little bit of the bottom stuck to the pan, leaving holes in the finished product. However, this is going to be the bottom of the cookie, and it's still warm and it's still soft, and so I can just take those pieces, that's what I'm doing, taking the pieces off the bottom of the pan and patching them back in to the spots they came out of, and just sort of gently pressing them down in. And they won't stick perfectly, but as it cools, they will rejoin their larger self and stick together just fine, especially since these are going to be on the bottom. Okay, now, using your knife, you're going to guesstimate an inch, and you're going to cut off about an inch from one side of these cookies. It's not a lot. And then really quickly and carefully take that piece you sliced off, or those pieces, because it's probably going to fall apart, and toss those into a bowl before you burn your fingers. And now, this piece that's left on the cutting board, I kind of want to turn right side up again. Last time I did this, I cut it into individual squares and then turned each individual square right side up again. This time, all right, this is going to sound a little crazy, but I'm going to try to undo what I did a minute ago and just flip it back over again. So I'm going to take the pan that they came out of and position it carefully back over the cookies, and it's got its missing inch, but this is going to be a little trickier than turning it the other way. Not using my hot pads. I'm just going to, I've got the cookie sheet on the bottom now. And the pan on the top, I'm going to just flip the whole thing back over. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it worked just fine. Okay. Well, now we've got this square. It's right side up again. And we need to cut it into 16 bars. They won't be very big, but trust me, they'll be big enough because these are lovely, rich things. So small is fine. So we're going to cut it in half one way, and then we're going to cut the left half of that in half. All right. And then we're going to cut the right half of that in half. So here we have four strips. Now just turn it exactly 90 degrees from there and do the same thing. We're going to cut it down the middle and cut the left half in half and the right half in half. And there we go. 16 squares. All right. Going back to the piece that we have, pieces that we have in the bowl, what we have to do is crumble this up a little bit. And it's going to be too moist and too hot. Ow. Yeah, too hot to really crumble it small, but we want to get it, ow, kind of small, as small as we can here. If it isn't small enough, we'll do it later. This is going to be the topping. And so we just need it kind of crumbled, but we don't want any huge pieces. But uniformity is not necessary, and it really isn't important how big the pieces are, because you're going to get to eat them. Either way, it's going to be a good thing. So crumble it up as best you can, and then when you have it kind of crumbled up, you want to cover this bowl with either some plastic wrap or set a plate on top of it or something so these don't dry out before we have a chance to use them. Okay, now we go away for a bit and wait for the squares to cool. Go ahead and keep crumbling if you need to. Come back to me when the squares are cool and we'll do the last step of this. Okie dokie. Now we can go back in and crumble those crumbs a little smaller. Mine are still a little warm, but they're still also really fresh and very moist. We just want littler bits. So crumble them till they're going to make a nice topping. In other words, you want some kind of larger pieces, but nothing huge. And now, get out your jam and a spoon. It takes a whole cup of this. It really takes 8 ounces of jam. It's a small jar of jam. It's the whole jar. And you just put a little spoonful on top of each of these 16 cookies. And I discovered that to use a whole cup, it takes more than you think it's going to on each cookie. So don't be shy with the jam. This is the contrast to the shortbread. And like I said, for all I know, it's also what makes them stay so moist. You're going to love these. Okay, that was the apple. Now I'm switching to the cherry in honor of the queen. That's a little silly. It's not like I knew the queen. Still, it's just timely that this was done by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen. Is that like she commissioned it? I have no idea. This is going to give me two different colors. Like I said, the peach was phenomenal on here if you have peach jam. I think also that raspberry would be really, really good. Strawberry, I'm sure, is fine. It's just so predictable that it's not my first choice. Blueberry would probably be super good. Oh, fig jam. Oh my goodness. I wonder what fig jam would be like. It'd be like Fig Newtons, only way, way better because it's shortbread. I'm going to try that. I have some homemade fig jam from last year. I'm going to put some of that on here. So I have three kinds of jam. And that's your whole recipe, you guys. Now we take the crumbs that we had and we sprinkle that over the top of these. And it's a lot. So you're going to think it's going to bury the cookies. And in a way, it kind of is. And that's what you want, okay? Don't be afraid of them. They make it look good. And they make it taste better. So use them generously. Use them all up, all over the top of these cookies. Once you finish that, they are then ready to serve. I wish I could be there to taste this with you and watch your face when you put it in your mouth, but that is not to be. So, write to me, all right? Let me know what you think of these cookies. Share them with your friends. Share the podcast with your friends so they can make these at home. Like I said, so easy, but wait till you taste them. I'm just cleaning up the crumbs. I will see you here next week for a cook-along quick bite. And 2 weeks from today, another new recipe, which hopefully this time will be the savory thing that it's really time for. And until then, until next time, happy cooking!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're enjoying this podcast, you can make a contribution through the supporter link on every Cook Along podcast page or go to Ko-fi. ko-fi.com/thecookalongpodcast. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.